Welcome to Barely Audible Whisper, a weekly NPR parody podcast in no way associated with NPR, brought to you in no part by the following parody sponsors.
The FBI, reminding Republicans on the Senate Judiciary Committee that the I in FBI stands for investigation.
The Twilight Zone, Brett Kavanaugh has compared the allegations against him to an episode of The Twilight Zone, specifically the episode where a man's checkered past comes back to haunt him.
And the Brett Kavanaugh no means yes, but doesn't count against your virginity foundation for high school rapists, because Brett Kavanaugh was a virgin in high school, like Jeffrey Dahmer was a vegetarian.
I am Dave.
And I am Molly, and if our voices were any lower, they would be where the Republicans set the bar that Brett Kavanaugh still can't seem to clear.
President Trump was laughed at by the entire United Nations General Assembly, who could not help but laugh when Trump could not help but brag.
As always, our Trump impersonator is a woman, because we hear he hates that.
No administration in the history of American administrations has ever done more than my administration. That's not the response I expected.
Despite having admitted in the moment that he had not expected to induce laughter by bragging, President Trump now claims that he intentionally told what he knew was a joke, an assertion we hope came up the following day when he chaired a meeting on nuclear proliferation.
As always, our Trump impersonator is a woman because we hear the UN General Assembly thinks that's hilarious.
I hereby declare this meeting to be in order by banging this enormous gavel, which must be the most enormous gavel in the history of gavels because it barely fits in my most enormous hands in the history of hands.
Hold it in, Macron!
First, I would like to thank you all for laughing at my totally hilarious, totally on purpose joke, which I totally meant to tell yesterday.
Oui, oui. It was very funny. Le President Trump. No president in history has ever told funnier joke than Trump.
I get it. No president in the history of presidents gets jokes better than Trump. Trump is the best joke getter, much better than Obama. Under Obama, the whole world was laughing at us. But under Trump, the whole world is laughing with us.
Speaking on behalf of the Canadian people, we're laughing with your inability to get along with Canada. You're ruining both our economies because your grasp of NAFTA is as tenuous as your grasp of that gavel.
Indeed! The way your tariffs forced Harley Davidson to move factories to Europe has us laughing with you all the way to the bank!
As always, our Theresa May impersonator is a man because we grew up on Monty Python.
You guys are laughing with me. I have the best jokes. Do you guys want to hear some of the jokes I told Billy Bush?
No.
To locker room for the UN. I get it. How about impressions? No impressionist in the history of impressions does a better impression of impressions than Trump. Hey, do you want to see my impression of a physically handicapped journalist?
No.
President Trump, as much fun as we are having laughing at you, with you, perhaps we move forward with our discussion of nuclear proliferation.
Excuse me? I am the chairman of this meeting. Nobody in the history of chairman has ever done a better job of chairmanning a meeting than Trump. I hereby declare that Trump, and only Trump, can move this discussion away from laughing with Trump. Because nobody in the history of laughing has done a better job at laughing than Trump.
You speak to her the way I assume Brett Kavanaugh spoke to his wife, Wee Wee, after their Fox News interview.
Brett Kavanaugh is, what it would be like if Donald Trump read books.
The fake accusations against Brett Kavanaugh are a con job because Democrats. Dr. Ford is a liar because she says she is a doctor, but she doesn't work in a hospital. In a tweet about Avenatti, I said, Avenatti is a third-rate lawyer who is good at making false accusations like he did on me.
You can't accuse someone of making false allegations by citing allegations he made about you when all the allegations he made about you were proven true.
How stupid do you have to be to disprove your own point inside of your tweet? You tweet to it!
So you are laughing at me?
I'm afraid so, dearie!
Me.
I hereby declare war on all of the countries that are laughing at me.
That is literally all of the countries.
Except Russia. Except Russia.
I'm afraid Russia is laughing at you the hardest, dearie.
Also, in America, only Congress has the authority to declare war. Why do I know more about the way your government works than you do?
Putin too? Why Putin? Why? It must be because of the people James. Trump. Daddy didn't love me.
The Senate Judiciary Committee has 11 Republican members, all of whom are
pussies.
Men. In order to avoid the political fallout these
pussies.
Men might face as a result of harshly interrogating Dr. Christine Blasey Ford, the woman who accuses
rapist
Supreme Court nominee Ben Kavanaugh of attempted rape, the 11
pussies.
Republicans on the Judiciary Committee hired a woman to do their questioning for them. Barely Audible Whisper obtained audio of the
pussies.
Republicans deciding to hire a woman to help them question their
rapist
nominee.
We've refused to let the FBI conduct a standard background investigation. We've refused to allow testimony from any possible corroborating witnesses. We've even refused to acknowledge the existence of all of the other allegations from all of the other accusers. All that's left to do is rip this woman's credibility apart during the hearing.
I do declare, Chairman Grassley, the idea of confronting this woman gives me the vipers.
Pull yourself together, Senator Graham. We're men. Men with penises. And as men with penises, we don't have to take any of this Me Too crap from women with vaginas.
Senator Hatch is right. It says so in the Bible.
And the Book of Mormon.
But Senator Graham is right to be afraid. This vagina is sensitive, and none of us penises have any idea how to handle a sensitive vagina. We should all be afraid of the political ramifications of our ramming penises.
I do declare, whatever shall we do?
We'll do what we always do. Rub our penises together until we think of something.
I do declare I love this committee's approach to brainstorming.
Well, can't have 11 men with penises publicly picking our vagina. It'll look like one of those trains Kavanaugh used to run on passed out girls in the 80s.
What if we brought in a woman?
I do declare bringing in a woman would ruin this committee's approach to brainstorming.
No, not bringing a woman into our penis rubbing session. That would be ridiculous. I mean bringing in a woman with a vagina to ask our penis questions for us.
That's a good idea. That way we don't sound like a bunch of angry penises rubbing against each other.
I do declare, however, will we summon a woman?
Stop saying I do declare and then asking a question. It's grammatically confusing.
Let us consult the Book of Pandering.
According to the Book of Pandering, when wanting to appear respectful of women while taking away rights from women, one must summon a woman by confronting the aspect of women which men who hate women find most uncomfortable.
Well, I do declare I do not know anything about the G-spot.
Worse, we must put our penises away and proclaim our comfort with the perfectly natural and not at all threatening process of menstruation.
Let us join hands and repeat the word tampon 3 times.
Tampon! Tampon! Tampon!
Fear not, good gentlemen, for I am your Republican fairy godmother, a traditional Christian Fox News viewer who believes that feminism is for ugly girls.
I hate the idea of a vagina with an opinion, but I feel less threatened when the vagina agrees with everything I say.
I agree, and my vagina agrees, and that's the magic of a Republican fairy god vagina. When a fairy god vagina sees an attack on Republican penises, the fairy god vagina attacks the ugly, unshaven feminist vaginas that are attacking the Republican penises.
Hear, hear. Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, the Republican penises are defenseless against the ugly, unshaven feminist vagina for fear that attack against a vagina by penises will anger the otherwise politically neutral vaginas and create an army of enraged, penis-hating, ugly, unshaven feminist vaginas. But a fairy god vagina, being a vagina, may attack another vagina without incurring the wrath of otherwise politically neutral vaginas.
I do declare, this is the least scary vagina I have ever met.
That solves our political penis problem, but something as transparent as hiring an outside woman to do our dirty work for us may make us look weak and cowardly.
Yeah, you guys totally come off like pussies.
A controversy over a statement made by Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein erupted this week following a New York Times story alleging that Rosenstein suggested, quote, wearing a wire to spy on President Trump as part of a plot to invoke the 25th Amendment and remove the president from office.
Although the Times story was quickly contradicted by stories from multiple news outlets, citing multiple sources who said Rosenstein was clearly joking when he made those comments, the Times continues to stand by its reporting.
From what we can piece together from the ensuing controversy, it appears as though what Rosenstein intended to be a joke was interpreted as a joke by most people who heard the joke, but at least one person genuinely did not recognize the joke was a joke.
For more on this controversy, Barely Audible Whisper turns to our joke correspondent and vaudeville throwback, Shecky Stereotypestenberg.
Take my wife. Please! Huh? But seriously, folks, it seems as though a bunch of muckety-mucks at the DOJ were complaining about a President Mushroom penis. Huh? And Rosenstein said, what do you want me to do? Wear a wire? And then everybody laughed except for one muckety-muck who took it seriously, because DOJ doesn't stand for Department of Jokers. But seriously, folks, the inability of one DOJ official to not recognize a joke may be the first domino in the fall of American democracy. Because the New York Times story that portrayed Rosenstein's joke as a serious threat to President Trump may serve as a pretext for Trump to fire Rosenstein, who is overseeing the special counsel's investigation, thus allowing Trump to instill his sycophantic loyalists into key positions to effectively destroy the entire investigation.
Hey, Shecky.
Not now, Shemp. I'm not in the mood.
What's the deal with comedians who take their subject matters too seriously and stop telling jokes? Did you hear the newest one from Kathy Griffin? Neither did anyone else because she ruined her career.
Shemp, I'm trying to tell a story about the distinction between what is and isn't a joke, which is almost impossible to tell anymore because we live in a world where the president blurs the distinction between reality and unreality.
Well, I know what you mean, Shecky. The Trump blurs reality and unreality so much, he's like the not fun part of the mushroom trip. And speaking of mushrooms, what's the deal with Donald Trump's penis?
I already did that joke.
Who cares if his penis resembles a mushroom? I want to know what part of him resembles an impeach.
Damn it, Shemp. That's what I'm trying to tell you. We can't impeach him if Rosenstein gets fired because he'll corrupt the entire Mueller investigation.
Mueller? I don't even know her.
What does that even mean? Mueller? Like you're going to mull her over? How is thinking sexual innuendo?
I happen to be a very thoughtful lover.
Don't you get it? There's no difference between jokes and not jokes anymore. Jokes are dead. And with the death of jokes, America died too.
Of course, I get it. But what do you want me to do? Well, stop telling jokes? I won't do it. Maybe I should, but damn it, I don't know how.
What's the deal? What comedian's trying to do dramatic acting all of a sudden? Did you hear the new Jim Carrey joke? Neither did anyone else because he thinks he's an artist now. Hey.
Not now, Chuckles.
Chuckles, we're not in the mood.
In the words of Brett Kavanaugh, who cares if you're in the mood? I'm in the mood. Hey.
Damn it, Chuckles. I was trying to do a story about the distinction between jokes and not jokes when I came to the realization that we live in an Orwellian world where there's no longer even a distinction between reality and unreality.
Well, don't you get it, Chuckles? Jokes are dead. America's more screwed than a Russian hooker with a full bladder on Donald Trump's hotel room.
That sounded like a joke.
You came in right after explaining that I can't not make jokes.
Don't you see? The problem with the Rosenstein joke isn't the Rosenstein joke. It's the dumb bureaucrat who didn't know the Rosenstein joke was a joke. The Rosenstein joke wasn't a very good joke, but the DOJ doesn't stand for the Department of Justice. Am I right?
Joke wasn't funny the first time I made it.
The point remains, Donald Trump is a joke. He's always been a joke. When he descended that golden staircase and announced his candidacy by insulting Mexicans, it was the funniest thing since Dick Cheney shooting his best friend in the face.
I remember when the vice president who engineered a purposeless and unwinnable war shot his friend in the face. That was a comparatively innocent time.
But despite how clearly everything about Donald Trump as a human being is a joke, enough humorless humans failed to recognize him as a human joke that he is. That's why Russia was able to help him. There has never been a joke in all of Russian history.
He's right. The Russians are so not funny that they classify the works of Chekhov as comedies.
My God, that's not funny.
But even in a jokeless Orwellian nightmares, jokes will prevail. For when President Trump addressed the UN Assembly, he delivered a brag that was not a joke, but his brag was so absurd it received the laughter of a well-told joke. The not a joke told by the human joke who people treat as not a joke landed like a joke.
Then there is hope.
The hope of the world lies in the United Nations General Assembly.
The UN General Assembly is less effective at solving problems than the word no is at warding off Brett Kavanaugh. Ah!
It's good to have you back, Shecky.
Bill Cosby, legendary comedian and reason Quaaludes are no longer popular, was sentenced to 3 to 10 years in Pennsylvania State Prison for the charge of rape.
Barely Audible Whisper filed this report from Pennsylvania State Prison, where Bill Cosby has already begun a mentorship program for young rapists.
When I was a kid, I used to fantasize about having Bill Cosby for a father, because my real father was in prison for rape. I mean, I never could have imagined back then that one day, while in prison for rape, I would meet Bill Cosby, who was in prison for rape.
You see, you are all here because of the rap music with the swear words and the baggy pants falling off of your waist that causes the tripping and the falling when you are doing the running away from the police.
And my childhood fantasy centered around the idea that having Bill Cosby as a father will prevent me from going to prison for rape because, as a father, Bill Cosby would have given me guidance on how to not become a rapist. But having Bill Cosby give me guidance on how not to get caught being a rapist is the next best thing.
You see, I listen to the jazz music with bebop, boop, 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 and the scat-a-tap-tap, and the wearing of the sweaters with tacky colors, and the being of the Heathcliff Huxtable.
I never realized how easy it would be to get away with rape by simply thoroughly portraying yourself as somebody who nobody wants to be guilty of rape.
Hey!
It's really inspiring to think that someone could get away with such heinous crimes for so long just by exploiting his position and privilege without even being white.
You see, after years of the being of the hypocrite and the doing of the moralizing about the rap music and the swear words and the immorality of the baggy pants, I was called out for the rumor about the being of a serial rapist, which was being ignored by all of the people because of the Heathcliff Huxtable and the classic bit about the dentist and the dad's chocolate cake.
Dad is great. Gives us the chocolate cake.
You see, when I was a boy, going viral meant getting the clap. Even before I knew what the clap was, I knew I was supposed to avoid the clap, which was scary when I started doing comedy because the audience would clap.
His seminars tend to get diverted by long-winded off-topic stories.
You see, when I was a boy, I had a friend named Harold who lived on 47th Street next to the Five and Dime, who had a dog named Spot that used to bark at the mailman, whose name was Mr. Johnson, but all the kids called him Old Man Johnson, the mail carrier.
After about 15 minutes, it seems like he's tying things back into his original point.
You see, Harold got the clap, and when I say Harold got the clap, I mean Harold got the clap so bad that when Harold walked down the street, it sounded like applause.
But then he goes right off onto another rambling off-topic story.
You see, the applause was so loud, Spot the dog thought it was the mailman.
After about 15 or so minutes worth of dog impressions, he finally gets back to the point.
You see, today going viral means that the comedy bit by the young comedian who the comedy legend has never even heard of is seen by the people who suddenly believe that the comedy legend is a rapist, despite the Fat Albert and the Heathcliff Huxtable and the endorsing of the Pudding Pops.
That is great. We let him get away with rape.
You see, I am only here because of the YouTube with the Hannibal Buress and the Me Too movement with the social media and the hashtags and the believing of the women.
I learned so much from Bill Cosby's rape mentorship that I agreed to let him be my bitch.
You see, I could not do the kicking of the ass of the toughest inmate, so I chose the becoming of the bitch in order to avoid the receiving of the karma after the dropping of the soap.
Hey!
Supreme Court nominee and Kermit the Frog impersonating rapist Brett Kavanaugh appeared with his wife in an interview on Fox News.
Kavanaugh has been
criticized for answering a question clearly directed to his wife regarding Republicans' refusal to authorize the FBI to conduct a background investigation.
Despite the fact that
the Fox News reporter addressed Ashley Kavanaugh by name, Judge Kavanaugh answered the question for his wife, seemingly not allowing her to speak.
Republicans
contend that there is nothing sexist about Judge Kavanaugh answering a question clearly directed at his wife.
But it somehow seems
more dismissive when it happens to a man.
For more on this,
Barely Audible Whisper set for an interview with Brett and Ashley Kavanaugh.
I'm speaking with Brett Kavanaugh.
Hello.
And his wife, Ashley.
My wife will attest to the fact that she says hello.
Hello.
Miss Kavanaugh, what do you think about these sexual assault allegations levied against your husband?
My wife will attest to the fact that she knows her husband's heart, and that the husband she knows and loves has respect for women.
I know my husband's heart, and the husband I know and love has respect for women.
Miss Ashley Kavanaugh, do you believe that your husband's accusers have the right to have their accusations heard?
My wife will attest to the fact that she believes in a fair process and that I have respect for women.
I believe in a fair process and that my husband has respect for women.
Ms. Ashley Kavanaugh, do you, Miss Ashley Kavanaugh, think that an FBI background investigation into the accusations against your husband would somehow make the process unfair?
My wife will attest to the fact that she believes that a fair process is contingent upon...
Judge Kavanaugh, will you please let your wife answer for herself?
Of course I will, because I respect women.
A fair process is contingent upon...
Go on.
I did go on. I attested, just as my husband, who respects women, attested I would attest that a fair process is contingent upon...
But that's not a complete thought.
Before you interrupted my attesting to what my wife would attest to, I was going to attest to the fact that my wife was going to fully attest that a fair process is contingent upon...
Are you really blaming your wife's incomplete thought on me interrupting the thought you were telling her to think before you were able to finish telling her what to think?
Of course not, because I respect women.
Please continue, Miss Kavanaugh.
A fair process is contingent upon
That isn't even a complete word.
Purposeful.
Purposeful.
Examination.
Examination?
Of.
Of.
This is ridiculous.
Evidence.
Ants.
Miss Ashley Kavanaugh.
My wife.
Only Miss Ashley Kavanaugh. Please tell us in the words of Ashley Kavanaugh, what does Ashley Kavanaugh think? I am. Now forcefully covering Judge Kavanaugh's mouth with my hand in order to stifle his voice, which somehow seems more intrusive when it happens to a man. Miss Kavanaugh, please don't mindlessly parrot your husband's inaudible grunts. I want to know what you think. Miss Kavanaugh, you must have some opinion. Miss Kavanaugh, do you have any thoughts left in your brain, or have you been completely reduced to the mindless repetition of whatever nonsense your husband tells you to say?
Thoughts are like orgasms. I have heard that other women have them, but I gave them up when I married Brett Kavanaugh.
I respect women.
Oh, Cavi.
In Virginia, a policy preventing women wearing tampons from visiting state prisons has been put on hold.
Virginia women, take note. Your window to sneak weapons and drugs into prisons by hiding them in your snatch has reopened. So pack your cooters with all the heroin and razor blades you can find and head on down to the penitentiary.
We sent a reporter to Virginia to discover why the hell this policy was deemed necessary in the first place.
Hello, I'm Brad Toothbone, here with Virginia's Secretary of Public Safety, Brian Moran, who I assume was called Brain Moron frequently as a child.
I was.
And who is this?
I brought a friend along to help me demonstrate the issue. This is Sunny.
Hi, Brad. It's nice to meet ya.
Your voice is familiar.
I don't think so.
Mr. Moran, why are you concerned about women wearing tampons during prison visitations?
Well, Brad, I don't know if you know this, but women don't have penises. They have vaginas.
I am aware.
And vaginas can hold a lot of stuff. It's not like the butt. You can smuggle all sorts of things. A vagina is built to hold an entire baby. You can imagine how many things we wouldn't want a prisoner to have that are smaller than a baby. Show him, Sonny.
Okay, Brian. Whoa! Check this out.
Oh my god, did she just reach into her...
Yes, I did! And pulled out a comically oversized rope.
I don't think I'm winning a Pulitzer for this one.
But wait, there's more! Whoa!
You had a knife in there?
It's a santoku! Great for slicing, dicing, carving, chopping, and of course, shanking!
Show them the rest.
I'd like to have security present.
Here we go! Whoa! Whoa! Whoa!
Whoa! Whoa! Whoa! Revolver, wrench, lead pipe, candlestick. So you're saying you don't want the inmates playing Clue?
This is a serious issue.
Then tell me why you instituted this policy. Seriously.
If a woman has a tampon in, who knows what she could be smuggling?
Knives and candlesticks.
And anything you can imagine!
And how do you find out that a woman is wearing a tampon?
All visitors must go through a full body scanner, because of all the butt smuggling that used to happen.
Wouldn't the scanner notice a lead pipe?
Possibly. But the tampon could obscure the image. Or just gross out the guard so much he doesn't want to look further.
But really, the concern would be things that fit inside a tampon.
Gosh, yes. Sonny, show them what you can hide in your tampon.
Okay! This tampon has a poisonous mushroom. A Zippo lighter. And a live electric eel!
Jesus!
Oh! Don't worry, he'll suffocate soon.
This is ridiculous! None of this makes any sense! You'd see all of this with your scanner. I mean, you could at least pretend that you're concerned about trace amounts of drugs or money, which some woman would still have to reach into her vaginal cavity during an observed visitation to extract. But no, instead you come here with this absurd, clownish... That's where I know you from. My kid's birthday party. You're Smuggles, the magic clown. I misread it and thought I was hiring someone named Snuggles, and then you left and like 12 birthday presents went missing.
And for my next trick, I'll make a reporter disappear.
I appear to have ended up inside a clown's gaping vagina somehow. Oh, God, just like that nightmare. Pretty scared now. My stutter's coming back. Okay, well, signing off from Smuggles the Clown's vagina. This is Brad. 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 Brad to the bone.
Croissants. Thank you for listening to Barely Audible Whisper, made possible by the following people: writer, producer, and co-host Dave Baldwin, writer and co-host Molly Brown, writer and actor Daniel Carter Brown, actors Corey Burns and Robin Ward, and making his Barely Audible Whisper debut for the first time, which is what debut means, Jason Williams. We appreciate you listening. Please follow us on your social media and subscribe to us and share us with all of your friends. Thanks a lot.
Hubris!